as we begin this new week, you quiet us and cause us to focus our attention on you with songs to you for your praise and glory, with words that remind us for whom we live, for whom all the activity that we do takes place. So I pray for this time of Sabbath rest here to refresh us and help us to learn. And if we need to dust ourselves up and get back on our feet, we thank you for this work that you do in us, a work that we can't do on our own, the work to redeem us and forgive us, but also the work to dwell within us by your Spirit. We have all sorts of plans of things that we think would be a good thing to do, but temper us and correct us so that we can know what your will truly is and that we can live for your glory, abandoning in ourselves our own right to ourselves and surrender it to you, trusting you that you have a plan that is best for your world and our place in it. And we thank you for each unique place we all hold in it. So let us be a blessing to one another and uplift one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Please greet the people around you, passing the peace of Christ. We're glad you're here this morning.
Which one is yours? I think mine is the one that's further to the right. I believe so.
I thought I ended up picking up two, or I picked up another one.
She's hiding. Glad you are here and worshiping with us at Community Presbyterian Church. Today is a Communion Sunday, and specifically, it is World Communion Sunday. So grateful for Worship Committee folks who have brought us images and fabrics from around the world to remind us of the many tables around the world in which we are celebrating Communion this day. There are lots of announcements in the middle of your bulletin. I would like to highlight for you just a few of them. One is that there is a congregational meeting on October 16 for the purpose of electing church officers. We had an additional nomination and a person who said yes. She's already been at deacon meetings. We just haven't officially voted her and installed her in. As my understanding is, this church manages to sort of call it for that day, do some paper ballots. I'm looking at Edie, right? So there'll be a set of voting here and a set of voting at 11, and doesn't require a lot of extra time or sitting in chairs or commitment. But we are giving you due notice about that. And I know there is fair trade today, as well as if you want a chocolate advent calendar, the pre-orders for those would be today. So they're $8. Is that right?
Yes.
$8. Yes. And payment is due when you pick them up. But they look beautiful and of course taste wonderful. So for yourself, for your child, for your grandchildren, to help them celebrate Advent. I know it's October. We haven't even made it to Halloween yet. But really, we can be thinking about chocolate for things like that. Great. Our scripture for today comes from Romans. Where'd it go? Chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. This is not the lectionary passage for today. It's a passage that I selected because it is World Communion Sunday. This is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. He says this, "We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please his neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Please join me in prayer. God, as we open these scriptures, we open also our hearts and send your Holy Spirit to walk through that open door into our hearts, to teach us, to draw us closer to you, to your wisdom, to your will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A woman was walking across a bridge one day and saw a man standing on the edge about to jump off. She immediately ran over and said, "Stop! Don't do it!" "Why shouldn't I?" the man said. She said, "Well, there's so much to live for."
"Like what?"
"Well, are you religious or atheist?"
"Religious."
"Me too." "Are you Christian or Jewish?"
"Christian."
"Me too." "Are you Catholic or Protestant?"
"Protestant."
"Me too." "Are you Presbyterian or Baptist?"
"Presbyterian."
"Wow, me too. Are you Presbyterian Church USA or Cumberland Presbyterian Church?"
"Presbyterian Church USA."
"Me too. Are you staying in Presbyterian Church USA or are you going to the Evangelical Covenant Order?" "Evangelical Covenant Order." To which she said, "Ah," and pushed him off the bridge. A Roman Catholic, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, and a Southern Baptist were all out fishing together on an ecumenical fishing trip. They got into an argument about what denomination Jesus would be. The Roman Catholic said, "No doubt, he would be part of the Mother Church." The Presbyterian said, "No, no. When you consider all that John Calvin did for the Christian faith, there's no question he would unite with the Reformed tradition." The Methodist said, "No, no, 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 no. When you consider all that John and Charles Wesley did for the Christian faith, there's no question he would unite with the Methodist conviction." The Southern Baptist looked perplexed for a few minutes and said, "Boys, I don't think he's going to change." Although we're sitting in a Presbyterian church today, I grew up United Methodist. And I know that many of you have been in different denominations when you've lived in different cities. And unlike the Catholic Church, Protestants have so many of these different separations and denominations. We got Lutherans, we got United Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ. You have Missouri Synod Lutherans, right? Even the Presbyterians, there's Cumberland and Presbyterian Church of America. And we live in a time when the Presbyterian Church USA is at a time of schism and is splitting. Our local presbytery has been handling things well, but just across the bridge in San Francisco Presbytery and to the east of us in Sacramento Presbytery, there are congregations who are choosing to leave the Presbyterian Church USA and be dismissed to another Reformed denomination. Rockville Presbyterian Fellowship over in Suisun City had a number of elders resign after the decisions at the last General Assembly. And so the Presbyterian Church is not a great example of church unity. We love our opinions. We love to discuss things and discuss them and form a task force about them and have more disagreements about them. Part of me loves that about our church, and part of me gets really frustrated and really tired of it. And I especially get discouraged when the discussion over some controversial issue starts to heat up so much that people start making extreme statements and people start de-Christianizing the other side. Have you ever heard someone in the heat of an argument say, well, if you really think and believe X, then you aren't a Christian? Right? If you really think and believe that slavery's okay, you can't be a Christian. If you really think and believe that exclusive male language about God is how we can be talking about God, then you aren't a Christian. If you really believe that women can't be ministers, you can't be a Christian. And way back at the time, at the beginning of the Christian church, the comments were much the same. In the early church in Rome, the statements were closer to, if you really think and believe that eating anything you want, meaning not following those kosher laws, is okay, then you can't be a Christian. Or if you really think that working on the Sabbath is okay, then you can't be a Christian. And at that time in the church, these were the crucial issues. For there were Jews who had heard the message of Jesus and Jesus' grace on the cross and believed. There were also Gentiles, non-Jews, who heard the message of Jesus' grace on the cross and believed. However, the Jews felt that they should keep their previous rules and traditions from following the Torah and the law, such as not eating shellfish or eating meat with milk products and honoring certain festivals. And the Jews felt like they were right. They were claiming the moral high ground over their practices and their opinions. They were judging these newer Gentile converts for not being Christian, or certainly not being Christian enough. Paul, the writer to the letter of the Romans, jumps right into the middle of this conflict, and he names it for what it is, the sin of judgment. For immediately preceding this passage, he highlights for them, you realize what you're fighting over? You're fighting over what you eat and what you don't eat, and what you do on a particular day and don't do on a particular day. And he asks them, why are you passing judgment on your brother and your sister? Why do you despise your brother or your sister? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. We're all accountable to God. He challenges them about what they are doing that puts their opinions in the right and their opinions higher than other people's opinions. And he reminds them that that is not how Jesus modeled how to be. For in our text for today, we're reminded that Christ did not live to please himself. Christ came as a servant and to humble himself and to make himself available to love the folks he came in for. And Paul goes on with a prayer that may the God of steadfastness grant you to live in harmony with one another. The harmony in this statement is not harmony of like sopranos and altos and tenors and basses. It's actually closer to the literal meaning of, I want you to be thinking the same thing in Christ Jesus.
so that together you may with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One mind. One mind? That's kind of hard. I look at all the minds in this room and I think, we're not of one mind about a lot of things. I was on an interviewing committee once, the executive director nominating committee for a Presbyterian camp, with a pretty diverse constituency of churches. And it was very important to the committee to find a leader who could work with a wide variety of opinions. And we're interviewing very carefully for that, so that we didn't end up with an executive director who might judge and alienate certain sections of the constituency. I was impressed by a candidate who responded to our concerns about how they would handle our diversity, because his answer was this: I choose to major in the major and minor in the minors. I choose to major in the major and minor in the minors. And he went on to say he focuses more to spend his time on what unites us in our belief and in our mission, and less on the things that matter less. If we back up, there's some essentials of the Christian faith we're not really spending a lot of time debating and having task force about. A lot of Christians stand in unity that God exists as one in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that Jesus Christ is fully human and fully God, sent to earth to save us, that we're justified by faith through Christ, that Scripture is authority for life and faith. But after that, things start to drift a little. How are we saved? What are the mechanics of that? Is this global and cosmic? Is it substitutionary? And we know that people interpret the Scriptures differently and hold those in a different view in how we read this ancient text. And certainly there are differences about what it means to be obedient to Christ in our daily lives and the choices that faithful Christians make in that are not exactly the same. And then there are those things, this was a great word I learned in seminary, adiaphora. Adiaphora, there's your word for the day. Adiaphora means it is completely unessential to salvation. Such as, does the pastor wear a robe leading worship or not? Adiaphora. What color should the new carpet be in the church library? Adiaphora. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Does it matter for our salvation? No. So you can think one and somebody else can think a million angels, and we're still united, not in the number of angels, but we're united in Christ. So today is World Communion Sunday. It's a day where we're choosing to major in the majors. We're followers of Christ around the city, around the country, and indeed around the globe are coming to Christ's table to share in Holy Communion. And as we do that, we recognize that our unity in Christ is not uniformity. God doesn't ask us to be exactly alike. And the unity is already there, and the breadth of opinions is already there. For as we come to this table, we also come to this table with other congregations who speak languages other than English. We're coming with believers and congregations who wave a rainbow flag in front of their sanctuary. We come also with congregations who have chosen to leave the Presbyterian Church USA. There are congregations who use wine in the communion cup. We use grape juice.
There are congregations who have worship in an auditorium with amplified music and a drum set. There are congregations that worship with a traditional organ. There are congregations who worship only a cappella. There are congregations who worship in a sanctuary or a church building. And there are congregations that worship outside or in a home. But we come not to be all the same, but to come at Christ's invitation with the humility of proclaiming that our way is not the only way to be about this table and to be about glorifying God. But we humble ourselves and we come to this one table for the purpose of glorifying God. World Communion Sunday isn't a perfect example of this, but it's an attempt to point and try and dream towards God's dream that there would be unity among the world and that all voices might come together and offer glory to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please rise. Into your hands I commit again with all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe.
sing, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am.
Please be seated.
Indeed. This is one of many tables, but representing of the one table, which Jesus Christ himself offers as a feast for us. And so all who Christ invites are welcome to be at this table. Whether you come with strong faith or just a mustard seed, whether you come full of belief, full of doubt, if you are coming and longing to be fed by Jesus, you are welcome. Today, I'm going to invite us, not now, but when I say, to partake of communion by intinction, which means you get a piece of bread or a piece of the rice cracker and you dip it into the cup. And today, I'm going to ask us to attempt to form a circle, or at least an oval, in our worship space, that we would partake of communion as a miniature globe, as a miniature roundness. And that'll take a little moving of chairs and including folks who need to remain seated, and we will make sure that we do that as well, so that we can see a bit of the body of Christ who is gathered here today. I'll encourage you to look one another in the eye and see even the unity and the not uniformity that is in this room. We have differences of age, differences of hair color, differences of opinion, and we're unified in Christ. Let us pray and offer thanks for this meal. God, we give you thanks that you are our God and we are your people. We give you thanks for all those angels who dance upon the heads of many pins. And indeed for all who give glory and thanks to you this day. We thank you especially for Jesus, who you sent to live among us. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation. To prisoners, freedom. And to the sorrowful, joy. And to fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, even death on the cross. And rising from the grave, he destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose among us, God sent the Holy Spirit, God's first gift to those who believe, to complete God's work in the world and to bring the fullness of life. Lord, we pray by the Holy Spirit that you would descend upon us and upon these gifts, making them holy, and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Grant today that all who share this bread and cup, both here and around the world, may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. God, reveal our unity, guard our faith, and preserve it in peace, so that we might have union with all believers and with those of ages past, and give glory to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus took the bread. His bread may have looked different. It might have been flat, like a Middle Eastern pita, but we have the bread from here in our day. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he shared it with those who were with him, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat this, do this in remembrance of me."
After supper, he took the cup, and giving thanks to God, he poured it, and he shared it with those who were there, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me, remembering my covenant to you and to all people for the forgiveness of sins." And so now today, we in America eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaiming our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ alongside people from many places with many breads and many cups who proclaim the same thing of Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, and we await his coming again in glory. These are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. So I ask you now to stand, and maybe some of you can join me here behind the table, and we'll kind of make an oval or a circle. Let's make sure we include the folks who are seated. We'll kind of just include them into the circle. Yeah, thank you.
The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. So we share in his suffering. We proclaim Christ will come again, and we'll join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
Have you been served?
I haven't been served. Okay. I just wanted to finish the verse.
Yes, I hear you. Ask you to join the hand with the person next to you or around you if you're able. Take a moment to look around this circle. There's an amazing variety among us. And yet we're here this morning because we're united. God is the one who has called us to be here to worship and to receive his grace this morning. We are united in that. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for your call on our lives, for how you feed us with your grace, and how we can come to recognize and taste that in our lives. God, we pray that we would set aside the minor differences and recognize the people around us as your people and as children of God, that we may live in a greater sense of unity by your call and by your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As ones who have received so much from Christ, we turn around and we respond and we give. This morning, as our ushers are collecting our offering, I would also remind you that today is the day that we collect the Peace and Global Witness Offering. It's one of the special offerings from the Presbyterian Church USA, and indeed goes to bless other countries, in the Philippines, in the Sudan, where there is war and where there is strife. And so if you choose to make that donation, you can write peacemaking on the bottom of your check. There is also, I'll have information in the back, you can text your donation. So you can text $10 towards that. And I've got the number and the information here as well. Let us share generously. We also have an opportunity this morning to be the body of Christ. And when we know that when one person's hurting, we're all hurting. And when one person is rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. So I ask if there are prayers of the community this day, that we would share them and be able to pray for one another. Yes. Right. Bernice Osborne is grateful for this community and continues to pray for us. Yeah.
I have prayers from Louise and Jimmy. It says, please send prayers of thanksgiving for everyone at CPC, for all the prayers for Jimmy, also for all the messages, cards, and calls. God is so good and answers our prayers. Jimmy is doing better and has an appointment with the neurologist to follow up on treatment for the clot. He is feeling better also, and thank you. Thank you all very much.
Yeah, he's out of the hospital now. Yeah. There's some written requests, prayers for Mary Ann to have good results from an MRI to be done today, Sunday.
Today. I put that in for Google it right there. October 2.
Sunday, October 2.
Sorry.
Due to new concerns. Yeah. Okay. From Howard Fitzpatrick.
Amazing, isn't that?
Yeah.
I have a praise.
And a praise as well, yes.
Last Thursday, our son Nicholas, of course, I knew all along he was the smartest and the best candidate. You know, there was no doubt about it. But I'm sure that our prayers helped the management of this company to recognize that. And last Thursday, he got the call, and thank you so much. For the prayers of support.
Yes, and celebrating that new beginning for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the new concerns for Mary Ann, that's why she's having an MRI today, and I would really appreciate prayers for a good result from that.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
And clarity. Here's one from Linda Smith. Praise God for the healings I have received so far and prayers for continued healing. Yeah. Other prayers? Yes.
I want to say thank you for the prayer for the feature that was done on Friday. It went very well, and I'm recovering quite nicely.
Jane is grateful for our prayers and for the recovery from the procedure on Friday. Yeah, you're here this morning. Thanks be to God. There's a hand. There we go.
My daughter Darlene has an outpatient procedure tomorrow, so prayers for her. And then my six-month-old granddaughter has her kidney surgery on Tuesday.
Okay. And all is well? She's healthy and
everything
things?
Everything seems well. The last test shows that that kidney is functioning at full capacity. The blood supply is wrapped around the ureter, so they have to move the ureter.
Okay. Prayers for that little bitty baby going through surgery. Yeah. Other prayers? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Kellen's going to have a baby girl and hopefully close on a house this week or... Yes, yeah, thankful for newness, and it sounds like some relief from the stress. Yeah, be grateful for that as well. Other prayers? I would ask us also to be mindful of churches for whom they don't have the freedom to worship like this. That there are places where it is, you're not permitted to have the freedom to come and to pray and to celebrate together. And that is something that I'm grateful that we can do. Let us join then in prayer. God, you are the one who has created the world. You're the one who created the waters and the heavens and the very earth beneath and the very air we breathe. Sometimes we forget and we take these things for granted. But in worship and on this Sunday, we remember. We remember you and your power and your grace that is given to us each and every day. God, this day we remember your people that you have called to be your body worldwide. We pray especially for churches that are struggling or under persecution. God, that you would strengthen the faith of those who are there, strengthen their love and witness, and God, be with leaders in those countries that they might grant people the freedom to worship you in that space and in the ways that work. God, we pray for our churches, that we would have a sense of unity in purpose and love and mission, even when we cannot have the unity of what name we call ourselves. Help us to major in the majors and minor in the minors, not for our own sake of being right, but for the sake of following you and showing your love to the world. God, we pray that your love would abound. We give you thanks for the ways that we have felt your love. We have seen your power in answered prayers, in healings, in new beginnings and new jobs, in new weeks, in new life. God, we pray too, though, for people for whom they are longing for your newness and longing for your wholeness. God, we pray for those who are facing scary procedures or tests and pray that you are already going before them to create the best outcome for all. God, we entrust to you our many prayers, the ones we have spoken this day, and the ones we hold in our hearts, our secret desires that are not secret to you, our hopes for those we love that we lift to you now. And God, we pray all these prayers, and we gather them together, praying in the prayer that Jesus has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We ask that you would please rise to join us in our last song. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever. Offer of salvation. Find me all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light. Let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
What a great God we have. We give thanks. And now go, knowing the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the everlasting love of God, and the company of the Holy Spirit are with you this day and in this place and around the world, for now and forevermore. Amen.